All right, if you have your bulletins, just a few announcements as we begin here. On the back side, just a reminder, of course, we're getting close to Lent, and so there's just a lot of activities built up for Lent. That's, of course, Lent starts on February 18th, and of course, that first Sunday of Lent, we will have Lenten services again this year at the Sangersville Church of the Brethren. These are community services. And they'll be each following Sunday of Lent. And I encourage you to come to that. They will run from 6 to 8 o'clock. There's always a carry-in meal, and Moscow will be part of bringing one of those meals there at serving in Lent. And so I hope that you can come and be a part of that. This year we're going to focus on hearing testimony. Boy, I just love to hear what God is doing, and it's just always neat to hear the testimonies of different people. So we'll have various speakers coming and just sharing testimony, whether it's a miracle or healing or whether it's work they're doing in different mission work around the world. And so I hope that you come. Hopefully I can get out a bulletin insert for you that has a list of all the different speakers that will be there. And also it gives you a list of those offerings that will be received for different community or local ministries that we seek to support through that. So look forward to that. Also, just note, of course, Ash Wednesday service will be prior to that on February 14th. We have that over at the Mossy Creek Presbyterian Church. And Jamie Smith, who was here last week with you guys, will be leading that service, but we, the rest of the pastors, will be helping out with that. So I hope that you can come to that. I know for brethren, Ash Wednesday is a little unfamiliar. It was for me, but it's a great thing. It's a good experience, and it's always a good time of worship there for Ash Wednesday. Just a couple other announcements to keep in mind. The school supplies. We got a few school supplies. There is, one Sunday left, really, to collect school supplies. So if you hadn't had a chance to do that, be sure to go and pick things up. We just went to the Dollar. It was a Dollar Tree, I think it is. It used to be $1 for the items. Now it's $1.25. And they even have a dollar plus section. So, they have that as well. But you can get a lot of nice items right there at the Dollar Tree. Pencils, even the pencils that they had on their list, the Dollar Tree had some packs of those pencils there. And paper and just other sorts of things. Stickers, fun stickers, things that, you know, the kids will enjoy, teachers will like. And we had a fun time shopping for the teachers and for the children. So enjoy yourself, and hopefully we'll have a lot of items. We're going to bring those items together with the other community churches here. We'll sort through them. Me and a few of the other pastors work to do that. And then we get the joy of taking those things over and seeing the faces of all the teachers and the staff, faculty over there when they see us bring in bags and bags of goodies for the children and for the teachers. It's a big help to the teachers. Sometimes these teachers are pulling out of their own pocket to provide for the children because they don't have the things that they need. And so if you can help with that, it's really a big appreciation, I know, not only from the school and the teachers, but for us as well. And what a witness it is that we can do just by sharing these items. It's just a simple way to witness that the church is a positive thing in our community. We have a positive message, a message of salvation and forgiveness of sin, but we also have a positive impact on our community, and that's what we want. We want those children to know that. Okay, I think everything there is pretty straightforward. Kevin Dean is going to share with us Kevin, just talk loud so we can all hear you back there. Share with us a maintenance announcement.
This coming Thursday, February the 8th, at 3:30, we will be cleaning up some branches and leaves that's fallen through the winter. Anyone who would like to go, we'll get you.
Thank you, Kevin. What time did you say again? 3:30, this Thursday at 3:30. If you'd like to help, Ken, maybe you have that time available, you can stop by, and they'll be working outside just getting some of those branches cleaned up and getting that work done. So thank you, Kevin, for that. Any other announcements that you'd like to share at this time? I think I was going to just say a big thank you to Ashley last week for leading the service. I got a lot of good compliments, and just thanks to all those that helped out with the service in my absence. Let's just bow our heads for a word of prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we just praise you today. We praise your Son, Jesus. We thank you for his love, his goodness, his mercy, his forgiveness, Lord. You've truly given us the best message in the world. Is there any group or any body that has quite the message and the information that you've given to us, the church, to share with the world? There's no comparison, Lord, but the church, we have the message of God's love for all people, that it came to us through your Son, Jesus, that he was willing to love us to a point of that he would die for our sins so that we might have eternal life. Lord, we thank you for that message which we share with the world today. And Lord, our service to you now is a service of love. Lord, we seek to serve you because of that love that you've placed within our heart. And Lord, all that we do in this service and in our life, Father, I pray it's to bring you glory and honor. And so, Lord, we just thank you this morning. We just praise you. We give you all our praise. Lord, we'll in heaven praise you for 1,000 years, and even that won't be enough. Lord, we'll continue to praise you forever and ever and ever. And Lord, you're so worthy of our praise. And that's what we do here this morning. We lift up, offer you our praise and our love. Bless us, I pray, in this service together. It's in Christ Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. Stand together for this morning's call to worship. You find this in your bulletins coming from portions of John chapter 8 and 9. Being the words of Jesus, it says, "As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness. I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Let us turn our hymnal now to page 505. "Love Lifted Me." Let us sing to the Lord. Thank you. may be seated. Isn't that a beautiful hymn? I hope that you have felt the love of God lifting you up in your life. And certainly hope you feel that this morning. Certainly God lifts us up as He heals us, as He works miracles and answers our prayers. So I want to take a couple minutes to share with you some prayer requests this morning. And even some praises. I think one of our praises we have, really two praises, but some births happened there, especially for Tanner and Laura Cook. Many of you know Laura. She had baby Leah Rose Cook on January 25th, and so that's exciting news for her and Tanner and the family there. And so they have a rose there this morning that's placed upon the piano that's in honor of this wonderful addition to our church family. I got a chance to see baby Leah, and she's just beautiful. She's precious. I didn't hold baby Leah. They asked me if I wanted to hold her, and I said, no, maybe not. So she is precious, though, and be in prayer for Laura. Laura's had to go back to the hospital a couple times to get some treatment after the birth. And so she's doing well, but she's just had to go back. And fortunately, they were able to do a procedure and just kind of be able to send her back home so that she can be with Leah. And so I know that's important to them, especially at this time. So if you would just continue to pray for Leah and also for Laura, as she recovers now, and Tanner too, as he finds his way of being a new dad. But both of them were just smiling ear to ear, of course, and we're just so excited. They have a lot of family around them, which is a big help, and we praise the Lord for that, for the help they're receiving. And but we want to continue to lift them up in prayer. Also, Brian Aware shared with me this morning that he has a new grandbaby in his life. His son had a baby. Her name is Willow Olson Ware. And so we praise the Lord for that. And I asked Brian what that number added up to now for grandbabies. I think you told me 8. So praise the Lord for that, Brian. Wow. That's wonderful news. And we praise the Lord for you. We certainly lift up Willow and just pray that she continues to do well and the mom and dad does well too. And so we just praise the Lord for that. On your prayer list, if you would, put Otis Dove on your prayer list. We've had Otis on our prayer list before. He's 103 years old, and unfortunately he's had some internal bleeding and not exactly sure where it's coming from. He's been in the hospital for the last little bit. I think he's still in the hospital. But we just pray that they can get him the help that he needs, and just pray that they can get him well so he can get back home. But we just please keep Otis in your prayers and pray for him. Also, would you keep Vaden Clatterball in your prayers? I got word that Vaden is not well. I talked to Vaden this past week, and he's just sick. He's not been able to visit with Joyce like he wants to. And is just not feeling well. And so he couldn't identify exactly what it was, but he just said he wasn't well. So if you would, be in prayer for Vaden and just pray that God will heal him. Also, we want to pray for Lee. We praise the Lord. Lee's here with us today. She's been having some dizzy spells. So we just pray that the Lord will be able to solve that and help get the help she needs to help with this vertigo is what they call it. And so we just pray that God will get her the help that she needs as well. Also, Joanne shared this interesting story this morning about someone she ran into named Melvin. And you have to ask Joanne about that story. That is quite a story that she had about how God works and how He answered prayers. And we just want to lift up Melvin in prayer this morning. And so God knows what's going on there. He knows the situation. And we just want to pray that whatever healing Melvin needs, we pray for that healing. And so praise
God. Come in my path yesterday. I can help him.
Yeah.
Put Milton.
Isn't that something?
It's strange.
Right? Pray about how God can lead you to somebody that could use an encouraging word or prayer, and God did. And so if you get a chance to talk to Joanne about that, it will encourage you. It encouraged our Sunday school class this morning, and it was quite a story, and we know that God's working, and we know God's working in the life of Melvin. He testified to it even. And so, right. Yep, at a divine moment that Joanne had, and we just praise the Lord for that, but we lift up Melvin this morning, and God knows his situation. We pray for him. Yep. Deborah, did you have something?
Lois Emsweiler. She's been struggling with RSV for about a month now, and she went to the doctor, and there's not much else they can do. She's currently has been on oxygen for a few years, and so it's her log for her.
Right. If you went with us Christmas caroling, we sang to both Bob and Lois, and they really appreciated that. But Lois is needing our prayers and needing healing. So, be in prayer for Bob and Lois, especially Lois, this healing that she needs, not doing well. Kevin. Tanya
Hollingsworth. She is having back surgery.
Okay.
And also the family of Eugene Friesen.
And the family of Eugene Friesen? Yeah. Thank you, Kevin. If you would... Tanya Hollingsworth and Eugene Prison, if you would be in favor for the family of Eugene Prison, and for back surgery for Tanya Hollingsworth. Megan?
Kim Evers, many of you know her, has to be on our prayer chain. She's having some stomach issues, and I think she still has a hernia that they're still dealing with, so she's kind of been in and out of the emergency room a few times in the past
few weeks. If you would, just pray for Kim, put her on your prayer list, and for healing for her, different things that she's dealing with. Yep, she's a sweet girl. Other prayer requests, Pam?
I have a prayer request.
Yes. Yes.
Robert and Jennifer became grandparents last Saturday.
Okay.
For a little girl for Haley.
Okay.
Clara?
Irene. Isn't that pretty? Clara, Irene.
And also, Jennifer had to have hysterectomy.
Uh-huh.
Unfortunately, they have found some cancer.
Yes, that's what we heard, certainly.
I think it's contained, but she still has to see an oncologist. Just pray that it is contained.
Yes. That's what we'd be praying for. Praise the Lord that they got to that early. I know that wasn't even on the table when they first started this whole thing. And we know God's hand is just kind of... led them to the right procedure and even the diagnosis that she needed to get the treatment that she needs. And so, praise the Lord. We know God's hand's been in this, but certainly we want to just pray that cancer was contained and that whatever other treatment she might need, that will go well and keep her well. So, thank you, Pam, for sharing that. Just continue to keep Jennifer Lambert in your prayers and Robert. Janet. That's right. Jean, she started another therapy this past week. I think things are going well, she said, with that first treatment. And so, we just want to lift her up in prayers, continue to pray for her, and just pray for her healing. God's will, we continue to pray for that. We praise the Lord that Bob's back with us this Sunday, and... We certainly continue to pray for the Myers family, as well as the Michael family, for these losses in our church. And I know that God has received some new angels, but we certainly continue to pray for Bob and their family and all those that are affected by these losses in our congregation. Lee?
I have a great sound. Still a whole lot better, and I've got a good nurse.
That's exactly right.
And there's Alan.
Alan, can we refer to you as Nurse Alan, or is that not allowed? Can we refer to you as Nurse Alan, or no? He'd rather not. Okay. Joanne Good. Okay. Anyone else? With that, I'm going to call on the ushers now to come forward and to collect our tithes and our offerings. Let's stand together in prayer. Nancy, that was beautiful. I think we just all appreciated that. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you that in our struggles and our difficulties, Lord, we can always come to you. Lord, that you are there for us, that you hear our cry. Lord, you know our troubles. And Lord, you care for us. Lord, you watch over us. Lord, we thank you that in our troubles, we can cry out to you. And Lord, we know that you seek to answer our prayers. Lord, we seek your will here this morning. For all those names that were lifted up here this morning, Lord, those that are dealing with real struggles, those that are facing, Lord, death. Lord, we just pray that you would be there. Be that presence in their life at this moment. And Lord, that your will would be done. Lord, we don't know what that will is, but Lord, we seek it. We pray that your perfect will happen exactly as it should in those lives, Lord, that we've lifted up here to you. Lord, we know that if your perfect will is done, Lord, that Lord, we know that they can find comfort in that. Lord, we just pray that you bring healing to those lives that, Lord, your will is to heal. Lord, we pray that you bring comfort to those lives whose your will, Lord, is to call home. Father, we can trust always in you. And we thank you, Lord, that we can turn to you always and know that you are there. Father, in you we have hope. And that's not anything to be ashamed of. Lord, we have real, true hope in and through you. Lord, maybe we have come this morning, and maybe our hearts are troubled. Maybe we've been dealing with something. Maybe we've felt hopeless in our life. Maybe we felt like there's no solution for us. Lord, I pray even now that you will speak to our hearts, that you will draw us close, and Lord, that we might look to our faith and know that, Lord, there is always hope if we are seeking you. For there is nothing impossible for you. Lord, we thank you for the offering this morning. Lord, we lay it upon your altar. We seek that it glorifies you. Lord, we pray that you continue to bless us as we seek to serve you, share your good news with the world around us. And give us the courage we need, Lord, to invite others to church and to, Lord, to share your good news with those that might not know it. Lord, we praise you here this morning. We bless your holy name. It's in the name of Jesus we pray these things together. Amen. You may be seated. Okay, if you have your Bible, turn with me to Matthew, or 1 Corinthians, rather. 1 Corinthians, yeah. Oh, yes. Children's Church. Children's Church can be dismissed. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. If you would. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And looking at verses 58 here. A labor of love. And we're building on those scriptures of confidence. We need confidence, don't we? In today's world, we are seeing a lot of things that are discouraging maybe to us and worry us, make us anxious about what's going on in the world. Kind of started this series around the first year when, you know, we were thinking about what 2024 holds. And still, there's a lot of uncertainty about what could unfold this year. We're in an election year. Seems to be a lot of tensions building up in the world and in our government and our political system. And we start to get anxious, don't we? What's going to happen? What may happen? What should we prepare our hearts and ourselves for? Well, the good news is that we can have confidence that no matter what happens, God is with us. Amen?
Amen.
We can have confidence. We don't have to live a life in fear. God doesn't want us to live a life in fear. He doesn't want you to go about your life all week being anxious about what next thing might happen. We have to be honest. I think I've shared some about this. The news is playing on your fears because they are selling a product. I talked about that a few Sundays ago. They are literally selling you a product, and if fear makes you tune in, that's what they'll work on. So you have to be careful. You don't allow things to manipulate you for profit or for greed and working off your anxiety or your fear to achieve what they're wanting, which is to sell you something or to control you. Sometimes it has to do with just control, doesn't it? And that too is a wicked thing that we see happening today. But we can have confidence. God is with us and God is for us. And all that we do for God, as we're going to hear today, is done not in vain, But it's done for our good and for God's pleasure, right? And so these things, that the work that we do, it's a work that's honest, a work that's good. And we do not labor in vain. So look here with me, 1 Corinthians 15:58. Just one verse here. And Paul says to the Corinthian church, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Boy, don't you think Paul is speaking some confidence to the church of Corinth? He's trying to encourage them, to build them up. Don't you know the work that you are doing? It's for a reason. It's for a purpose. It has meaning, and it's not in vain. You know, one of the pieces of advice I like to give young people that are kind of in that stage of contemplating what they're going to do with their life, trying to figure out where they're going to go, what they're going to do, maybe what work they're going to take up. One of the things that I've shared before with young ones is that to try to figure out what you love and enjoy doing, figure out what that is, and then figure out a way to make a living doing that. Because if you can find what you're passionate about, what you enjoy, and you can figure out a way to make a living doing that, then it's no more labor, but it's a labor of love. And that makes a difference, doesn't it? You're doing what you enjoy. You're doing something that pleases you, brings you pleasure. It's no more just work, but it's a labor of love. Yes, it can be hard work, but if you're doing it because you enjoy it, because it's something that you're passionate about, it doesn't necessarily drag you down, but maybe even lifts you up. You know, when it comes to the Christian life, when it comes to our Christian labor, I kind of think that same thing should be felt, that our labor for God should be a labor of love, shouldn't it? We shouldn't complain or feel beaten down because of our service to God. We shouldn't feel just miserable because we have to serve God. Really, it should be something that we want to do, right? It should be a labor of love, that we really enjoy serving God. We really enjoy serving in the church, and that we don't serve grudgingly then, or we're not miserable in the work that we do, but we are joyous because we get to serve God out of that labor of love. You know, a few years back, there was a really cute commercial on television. And probably all of you remember this television program or this commercial. But it was for the Shrek High Shrubbery. And Steve and Robert Shrek High was on there. And Steve, always at the end of the commercial and telling you about the shrubbery and all that they offer, one of the things he would end with is, "I love my job." How many of you remember that? And I'm not sure, maybe they still have those commercials on, but that was a pretty good saying, wasn't it? And you could see in his face, he really does love his job, doesn't he? I love my job. And boy, it makes you feel better about it. You call on him to come do the work, you know, that he's going to do it with a joyful attitude. You know, he's going to do it because he loves doing it. In fact, I think he was the one that did the shrubbery here at the church a few years ago. He loves his job. You know, if Steve can garner up that much love and enjoyment about planting shrubbery and, you know, knockout roses, shouldn't we as Christians even more find joy and enjoyment in serving God, serving Jesus who died for us? I think we should. For us, our Christian labor should be a labor of love. That what we do for God, it's not because we grudgingly have to, but because we want to. It's our pleasure. It's something we enjoy. It's something we want to do when we serve God. Not because we have to, because we want to. And so it's a labor. Yes, we do work. But we do it out of our passion and our love for God. I tell you, as you, at least, I can only speak for myself here, but I find myself at times feeling overwhelmed by meetings and it's so much going on at once. I start to feel like I'm not being good anywhere. I'm so spread out, so thin. Maybe you felt like that too before. And at times you think, I'm just burning out here, you know. And your heart can start to move like, well, just give up. Just sit back and do nothing. But then you come back to that place within you that you love God. You love Jesus. And yes, it's tough. Yes, it's hard. Yes, it's stressful. But we do it out of our love for God. And so you get back up and you keep going. You keep pushing. You keep doing what you can because it's not something that should be grudgingly for us. It should be out of a passion and our desire to serve God. Yes, we serve, but we serve cheerfully, right? Yes, we give, but we are to give cheerfully. Yes, we labor, but we are to labor cheerfully. Yes, we are to study God's Word, but we're to study God's Word cheerfully. We sing hymns. We sing them cheerfully. We come to church. We should come cheerfully. You think God wants us to show up grudgingly? Oh, got to go to church today. When I was a kid, I did have that attitude. Mom and Dad's making us go to church again. And, you know, kids, you had other priorities. Wasn't a thing that I wanted to do, but Mom and Dad made us go to church. But we should come to church with joy in our heart, that we get to be here to worship God, to come together and to praise the Lord. Not that I grudgingly have to go to church today. You think God is pleased with us when we show up with a heart that says, I don't want to be here. I don't want to sing those hymns. I don't want to listen to that preacher. I don't want to talk to these people. I don't want to have to look at anybody. I don't want to be here. You think God's pleased with that? Oh, God sees it. Trust me. He knows your heart. God wants us to come with a cheerful heart. With a cheerful heart. He wants us to give our offering with a cheerful heart. He wants us to serve if we're serving downstairs and teaching Sunday school, with a cheerful heart. He wants us to sing our hymns with a cheerful heart. All that we do, we're to do unto the Lord, but we're to do it with the right attitude. Listen, you can do all these things, but if you have the wrong heart, it's meaningless to God. Meaningless. You've got to do it with the right heart. And that's that cheerful attitude that I want to do this. Why? Because Jesus is my Lord and Savior. He's died upon the cross for me. I love Him with my whole heart, and I want to serve Him. The same principle works within a marriage. Why do you love your husband? Why do you love your wife? Why do you do the things you do for them? Do you do it grudgingly? I have to go down and check her oil. Oh, I have to blow up the tire. Oh, I have to make dinner. Oh, I have to wash these clothes. We are to serve out of love with cheer in our hearts. We serve each other. We serve God in the same way. We serve each other the same way in the church. We're to do it cheerfully, not with grudge in our heart or anger or resentment or whatever negative connotation in our heart. We're to do it cheerfully. Colossians 3:23 says, whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. Do those things not as unto men. Do it as unto God, Colossians says. 1 Samuel 12:24 says, "Fear the Lord and serve Him faithfully with all your heart. For consider what great things He has done for you." What a good statement, isn't it? Serve the Lord with all your heart. Serve Him faithfully. And He says, then just consider all the wonderful things that God has done for you. And it will change your heart. And our service will be cheerfully unto Him. Well, Paul to the Corinthian church here is giving them, in the conclusion of this letter, it's in the last two chapters of his book or his letter to Corinth. And he's really trying to encourage them. He's trying to build within them confidence, to encourage them. And he goes and says here in verse 58, "Know that your labor is not in vain." Vain means having no meaning. That what you're doing, if it's vain, it has no meaning, it has no purpose, it has no likelihood of fulfillment. But he's saying it does have purpose, it does have meaning. It will have fulfillment one day. And he's saying, let what you're doing be a labor of love, for your labor is not in vain. Now, our labor is not in vain. I'm going to give you three reasons, I think, that Paul brings out here. Because our labor, first of all, is worth doing. Our labor is not in vain because it's a labor worth doing. God is worthy to be served, isn't He? Our labor is worth doing. And it's worth doing, I think, first and foremost, because it has eternal rewards. That is, what you're doing today for God, if you're doing it for the right reasons, with the right heart, it will have eternal dividends. What other investment in your life are you doing, are you making, that is going to pay eternally? Well, other than your service to God, there is none. But that which you do for God has eternal results. You'll carry it on with you for eternity. Think of that. Well, that's pretty important, isn't it? I tell you, I want to enter into eternity with a whole lot. That's your rewards for eternity. I want to have a whole lot. I want to be blessed by those works, that labor which was stored up there in heaven. And I don't want to be ashamed, a worker ashamed. I want to be one that rejoices in knowing that I served God faithfully and served Him with my whole heart while I had time here upon earth. You know, the Corinthian church, I think, had forgotten this. I think maybe they didn't know, or they just, either they were ignorant to it or they just had forgotten. But I think that they had become weary, thinking that their labor served no eternal purpose. I really feel like the Corinthian church had just said, well, what good? What good is this accomplishing? Yeah, we're serving Jesus, we're saved by Jesus, but He's calling us to labor, to work, to serve, to go forth on His behalf. But what eternal rewards does that offer me? I really think they were somewhat ignorant of that. Matthew 6:3, Jesus said, "But when you do charitable deeds, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deeds may be done in secret, and your heavenly Father who sees in secret will Himself reward you openly." Basically, God is saying, Jesus is saying, that which you do has rewards. It has rewards. Now, we don't do it so that others around us see what we're doing. That's kind of letting your left hand know what your right hand's doing. Pharisees fell into that trouble, didn't they? Everything they did was to gain their neighbor saying, "Oh, look how wonderful what you're doing. That's so great. Boy, isn't that impressive? You must really be godly. Look at all that you do." He says, "You don't do it for the pride of man around you, but you do it to please God. And if you do it for that way, your heavenly Father in secret will reward you openly himself. And so I think they had become weary because they felt their labor was in vain, that it served no purpose. Second thing, I think maybe they'd become weary because they had become tired. And let's be honest, we get tired, don't we? I get tired. I get exhausted. Jesus would get exhausted, wouldn't he? What would Jesus do when he found himself exhausted? He would go out by himself, away from the people. He would command them, don't follow me. I need a moment to be alone. I'm weary. I'm tired. He was God, but he was in the flesh just like you and me, right? His body got tired. His mind got tired. I tell you, your mind getting tired can make you, I think, more exhausted than if your body's tired. I found that one out in the ministry. I used to work a lot with my hands and my back. Now I feel like my mind is exhausted and I'm twice as tired as I was when I was working with my hands. You can just be mentally exhausted, can't you? And what do we do? Jesus went away. He took time for renewal. Took time in prayer and just to give himself some rest. We need rest as well. There's seasons for everything, isn't it? When we labor, I know when I was working manually, you would work hard, but then you'd rest for a while. Help move a chair this past week of a recliner up 3 flights of steps. Well, maybe 4 flights of steps. They were long flights. They must have been longer than usual because I was exhausted. He had the bottom in and I had the top in and up we went. Floor by floor, step by step. And you know, we'd get to the top and I'd say, we got to take just a little break. You know, we've got to rest. And he didn't complain either. Let's take a break. And so we would stop, rest a couple minutes, talk. And then we'd pick it up again. Up the next flight of steps we'd go. And we'd stop, we'd rest. And we'd pick it up, and we'd go again. We needed that, though. If we'd have tried to do it all once, we would have killed ourselves, I think. I'd probably be at RMH in contractions right now trying to get my back straightened out. But you need that time to rest. And it's the same way within the ministry, within our service to God. Just because we take moments of rest doesn't mean that we're being lazy. I think they had become tired. I think they had become weary and burdened down for their labor for God. Matthew 11:28, Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who weary and burden, and I will give you rest." I think they just needed to come back to Jesus, didn't they? Come back to him and have that moment of renewal. Enter into prayer. I encourage you, if you are weary in your service to God, take a moment to seek God to strengthen you, to help you, to bring your burden to him, and he will give you rest. Jesus is your rest. I have to keep telling myself that one. You know, take time to seek God, to find that rest and strengthen him that I need to continue on with my work. Because the truth is, friends, none of us can do this alone. We will just straight burn out. And then we potentially could walk away, drift away from that labor which God has called us to. I think thirdly, they were worried because they envy at the carefree life of the unbeliever. They look around and they could see how the unsaved were just about living their lives for themselves. And they could see that happening, and they say to themselves, "Well, why can't I do that? Why do I have to devote my life to serving God when I look around me at all the fun and stuff they're having? They're just out living their life for themselves, and boy, that sure looks fun. Why labor for God? Why devote myself to a service of Him when I could just be out doing all sorts of things for me? Just living my life for the pleasures of self. Now that is a labor in vain, isn't it? What's the end of those who live their life for themselves? Eventually the grave, eventually hell. That's vain, isn't it? There's no eternal reward in that. In fact, those you find that are living their life for themselves are actually more miserable than those that are living their life for Jesus. You take that to the bank. You live your life for yourself, you end up more miserable. Sin is miserable. They tell you they're having fun. They tell you it's all enjoyable. But if you dig real deep, you'll see that they're miserable. The things that they desire in their life, like peace, hope, faith, these sorts of qualities of life that you come to receive through Christ and His Word, that's what they want. And they can't find them. Live your life for yourself. The things that your soul seeks and needs, it doesn't find. But in Christ, we find these things. Philippians 3:14 says, to press on towards the goal, to win the prize of God's heavenly calling in Christ Jesus. Your labor for Jesus is not a waste. It's not a waste of your time. It's not a wasted investment of your life, but it delivers eternal rewards. Number two, our labor is not in vain because, secondly, God's helping us. We don't labor alone. I want you to turn back with me to chapter 3, Matthew. I think it's Matthew chapter 3. Let me make sure I'm right. Yes. At chapter 3. No. Yeah. No, it might be 1 Corinthians chapter 3. That's what I need. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Sorry about that. Yeah. Yeah, here it is. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Looking at, starting at verse 5. And this is Paul talking about the work that he is doing along with other servants of the ministry. Our labor is not in vain because God is helping us. Listen to what's said here. Who then is Paul and who is Apollos? These are ministers, right? Paul and Apollos. But they're ministers through whom you believed, as the Lord gave to each one. Verse 6, I planted, Apollos watered, but God, He gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. That is that there's one gospel, right? There's one saving message. There's one foundation in which all our faith is built off of. And that is the good news of Jesus Christ and His love for us. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold and silver and precious stones and wood and hay and straw, each one's work will become clear for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. And if anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss. But he himself will be saved yet as so through the fire. Notice here, we don't work alone, do we? Notice Paul is planting, Apollos is watering, but it's God that gives the increase. And notice he says there in verses 8 and 9, we are co-laborers in the ministry. Co-laborers with who? With God. We don't labor in vain because God is helping us. We don't serve alone. Listen, as you serve God each and every day in your life, you don't do it alone. God is serving with you. Now, number three, we have to finish here. Our labor is not in vain because God acknowledges, He accepts, and He rewards generously those who serve Him. That's why it's not in vain. God is going to reward you, and He's going to reward you generously. Notice here in the Scripture, it talks about each one's work will become clear on that day. What day? The day when we ascend into heaven, right? On that day, your works will become clear. And it says, those works which are done and built on the right foundation, whether with gold, silver, precious stones, woods, hay, straw. I think that's just a fancy way of saying different works that we give unto God. Different gifts we give unto God. Those works that are done and built on the right foundation will remain, but those works that are done for selfish reasons. Notice here he says, those things will be burnt up. Those works will be burnt up. No longer any good. Listen, our labor is not in vain, is it? Those things we do to serve God now, they have eternal rewards. They are for our benefit. They are for God's pleasure. And we can know that as we serve God, we do not serve in vain. Most everything else we do in life will be in vain. But those things that we do for God, they're not. They're eternal. They last forever. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, thank You for the eternal rewards that we come to find in our service to You. Lord, help us to devote our lives to You. Lord, give us rest when we need rest, but Lord, give us strength when we need strength to serve You. Lord, we might become weary like the Corinthian church, but Lord, we need Your strength to get us through. And we pray that strength upon us now. Allow us to continue to serve You with our whole hearts, with our whole bodies, with our whole minds, with our whole spirit. Lord, knowing that the things that we do unto You, Lord, are eternal and have eternal reward. Lord, we praise You. It's in Christ Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. Okay, we're going to close now on our final hymn. It's More About Jesus, page 389. We'll share one verse and I think we'll close. So let's stand together and sing. Page 389, More About Jesus, just verse 1. In prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, as we go into the world, let us continue our labor of love for You. Father, we do love You. We seek to serve You each and every day in our life. Help us to do that, I pray, with that cheerful heart that You desire. Lord, allow us not to do it grudgingly or with resentment in our minds or in our hearts, but Lord, let us do it joyfully unto You. Father, we praise You now. Bless us this week, I pray, until we meet again. In Christ Jesus' name, we pray these things. Amen.